Good evening. Once again, it's great to see everybody out here this evening. Throughout the Bible, you will see that there are so many interesting verses and stories. I wanted to share with you some of the most interesting verses that I could find throughout the entire Bible. Every time I open up my Bible, I learn something new throughout the scriptures. And I wanted to share maybe something that's new to you tonight through the scriptures. I just want you to see how many things are in the Bible that maybe you've never thought about before. That there's stuff that's in here, but maybe you didn't know it was. Bear with me though, as I'll be jumping around the Old Testament from book to book, that you are going to get a biblical workout tonight over the next couple of minutes. So let's get started in looking at some interesting and, I guess you could say, random verses. So bear with me once again for that. I will jump around on different topics, but remember, I'm trying to show you some new and different verses throughout the Old Testament. Let's look in 1 Kings chapter 10 to start out with. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 10. And in verse 22, 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 22 reads, "For the king had a merchant ships at sea with the fleet of Haran. Once every 3 years the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys." This is one of the only places in the Bible where we read that animals like this are mentioned. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I didn't know that Solomon had merchant ships bring him apes and monkeys. I mean, I would have never guessed that. And I didn't know that the Bible ever mentioned that until I came across this verse. Now, one of my favorite things is food. And food can sometimes be a motivator. And the Bible actually talks about that over in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and in verse 26. "The person who labors, labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on." Yes, one of the only things that keeps me working at Pizza Hut is the idea that I get my free employee meal at the end of my shift. So no matter how long the night seems to be, I just can't wait till it's done because I know that I get a free pizza when I'm done. And I mean, this verse is so true that the hungry mouth keeps me going on through the night. Food can definitely be a huge motivator for a man. Then, in the world today, you'll see that so many people talk about how they see signs in the sky, or maybe they see a UFO, something weird like that. Well, Jeremiah actually talks about this over in chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. And in this chapter, he's actually poking fun at idolatry for the Gentiles here. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2. "Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them." He's making fun of the Gentiles here as they thought they were seeing things or signs above in the sky. Kind of how people today think that they see UFOs flying above us. But God warns the people of Israel not to learn from people like that. And here's a pretty interesting one, I thought. Did you know that the Bible actually gives us a standard for the true king-sized bed? Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 3. I think some of you are starting to see how random these verses are getting. Deuteronomy chapter 3. And in verse 11. "For the only Og, king of Bashan, remained in the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead was an iron bedstead. Is it not in Rabbah of the people of Ammon? 9 cubits is its length, and 4 cubits its width, according to the standard cubit." Now, to put that into perspective, that would mean that the bed is 13.5 feet long and 6 feet wide. Now, my bed is barely 6 feet long, let alone 6 feet wide. Now, that right there is a true king-size bed. And if I had a bed like that, I would be getting some great sleep. Staying on the topic of beds and sleep, it's actually talked about again in the book of Job. Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7 and in verse 13. When I say, my bed will comfort me, my couch will ease my complaint. Sleep, rest, and naps always comfort me too. Probably one of the few things that was comforting the Job at this time also. Beds are always so comforting and peaceful. Hopefully all this talk isn't making you get sleepy and thinking about your bed as well. And another, did you know that Jeremiah was put on house arrest? He was. Don't call me crazy, look in Jeremiah chapter 37. Jeremiah chapter 37 and in verse 15. Therefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah, and they struck him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. Jeremiah was put on house arrest. Now this verse would just make a great trivia question if you wanted to stump somebody on. That one's free, I'm not going to charge you. And Jeremiah was the only person that was mentioned to be actually put in prison in a house, by the way. Never know when verses like that might come in handy someday. Look over in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Using this verse to set up the next verse on how some people can be reckless and dangerous, perhaps maybe with their driving. They just keep going on and taking whatever comes their way. With that in mind, let's look over at the book of 2 Kings again. When I read this verse, I couldn't help but think of Gary for some reason. 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9 and in verse 20. So the watchman reported, saying, he went up to them and is not coming back. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously. See, right here, we have a passage that deals with modern-day road rage. As Jehu had gotten a reputation of being a fast and furious chariot driver. Only difference in this passage compared to today is that they're driving chariots and we drive cars. But still, it's quite funny how the Bible mentions road rage, but maybe not even meaning to, in a different context compared. If you want some more interesting passages, I encourage you to look at these on your own time. Over in Judges chapter 20 and verse 16, it mentions that some people are left-handed and they were good hunters. I'm left-handed, I'm a southpaw, so I thought that was pretty interesting. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 18, it talks about some golden rats that infested the Philistines. And in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5, it talks about long-distance running. Those are just some free, interesting verses for you guys to think about. Now, most of you are probably thinking, I'm crazy for just reading off some random and interesting verses that you guys threw out the Bible. I mean, what did any of this have to do with anything, PJ? What are you trying to get at? But just like my parents, I have a method to my madness. Do you think I was able to pull all of these verses about road rage and a king-size bed from my memory? There's no way. I had to study my Bible. I had to look up these verses and search the scriptures for them. And as Christians, we should be doing the same thing. There's only one way that God can communicate to us. Have you guys ever thought about that? One way that God can communicate us. And that excludes praying, because that's how we communicate to God. But one way how He can communicate with us. Think about all the ways that we are able to talk to people on earth. We can text them, we can call them, talk to them. Just the way we look at somebody, we can motion to them what we're thinking. We can Skype with people. And if you have a lot of time on your hands like Mr. Dave, you can Facebook people. There are so many ways that we can communicate with each other. But yet, God can only tell us what He wants us to do through one item. And what is that? Hopefully most of you know the answer, and that's the Bible. God gave us everything that we need to get to heaven, and He tells us all of it in the Bible. His own inspired word. But what good does it do if we don't even read it? If we only open it up on Sundays at church, that doesn't do us much good at all. If your boss gives you a tool to do a job, aren't you going to use it? If it could help you get your job done right, of course you're going to use that tool. You would be a fool not to. Well, the same goes for us in the Bible. God gave us His inspired word. And if we don't open it up and read it, what good does it do for us? I read all these verses earlier to show that the only way we can find interesting verses like that is if you are studying your Bible. We have the only tool that we need right here, and we need to be taking advantage of it. We have to be able to use God's Word. Look over in Romans, over in the New Testament. Letter to the Romans in chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and in verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. God's Word is here for us to help us. It's here to help us learn. It's pretty hard for us to learn new things if we never study. Learn that the hard way in school. Try passing a chemistry class without reading your textbook. That's pretty tough to do. The same goes for us in the Bible. It's hard to know what we should be doing and what God would want us to do if we never open up the Scriptures and look for what He would have us to do. Commonly used verse on this subject is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable, meaning that the Bible, it's here to help us. That every one of us may be complete, ready for every good work. God's Word, the Bible, I strongly believe that it's able to do that for us. But we have to be willing to take the time and actually open up our Bibles and read through it. Over in Psalms chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. Going to read verses 1 through 16. Now this is a longer reading, but there are some great verses that show us how we ought to feel about God's Word and what it can really do for us. So, Psalm chapter 119, follow along with me, beginning in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all your commandments, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. I will learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all your judgments, all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. We should love God's testimonies, his commandments, his statutes. So many great verses here to remind us about how great God's word is. As it says in verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. If you have your Bible open and you're reading it all the time, it's on your mind. You're meditating on those things. And if you are meditating on God's word, it's going to make it pretty challenging for yourself to forget that. And that's why it's so important for us as Christians to have our Bibles open. Read God's word, what he would have us to do. The Bible is the way that God communicates with us. We would be so foolish to not take advantage of it. I know I'm stressing this so much, but it's because as Christians, it should mean everything to us. It should be a part of every Christian's daily schedule. This is the only way that God can communicate to us. The Bible never tells us how often we should be reading it. But I can tell you that if you're only reading it on Sunday morning and Sunday night at church, that's probably not enough. This is the only way that God can tell you how you ought to be living your life. And if you're only reading that on Sundays, then that means the rest of those days you're living life how you want to be living life. You're not searching the scriptures to see how God would want you to be living his life. How you should be reacting when you're put in certain situations. And that's why it's just so important for us as Christians to realize that the Bible has everything that we need. And if we're not using it, it does us no good at all. I don't know how strong of a Christian you can be if you just don't open up your Bible. It just has to be a part of you. And if so, we need to reset our priorities and make sure that reading our Bible is up towards the top, along with talking with God. So in case you didn't hear me maybe the first 28 times I said it, we need to be reading our Bibles. Those verses I started out with were not major verses by means of salvation. But God put them in the Bible, so obviously they're still important there. There's still something that we can learn from those verses. And that's what I'm trying to get you to understand tonight, that every single verse in this Bible can help us. There's something that we can take from each book of the Bible, each chapter and each verse throughout the whole Bible. There's something here for each and every one of us that we need. And in our lives, everything that we need is right here in this Bible. But at this time, maybe you haven't been reading your Bible. You've been living life in whatever direction you've been wanting to. Without reading your Bible, you just don't really know what to do right now. Maybe you're lost right now and are not living a way that a Christian should. Or maybe you have been reading your Bible and you've been studying that in order to be saved, you realize that you have to be baptized. If you fall in either of those categories, I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.